Have you ever heard someone say something to this effect? The church is not the Savior, but Christ is. Or, the church is not that important, but focus on Christ. Or not the plan, but the man. Well, this morning, as we study with an open mind God's Word, the Holy Bible, what should we conclude concerning this question? How important is the Church of Christ? That is, the church that is possessed by Christ. Since He paid for it with His blood, it is a possession. And so this morning, let's go to God's Word and answer that very eternally important question. And we'll do that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And I keep using these initials, PFE, to remind us we should be doing exactly that every day. What's more important than our eternal destiny? And at this time, we would like to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as, yes, sir, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we assemble together, we strive to worship God in spirit and in truth, having a proper attitude that's in spirit, but also following the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth, John 4:24. And I can assure you that you will receive a very warm welcome. Now, something else to mention. If you are interested in having a Bible study, we would love to set that up at your convenience. And if you would like to start a Bible correspondence course, we have those available. And if you have Bible questions, comments, please send those to us. Our address is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, as I'm recording this on Tuesday morning, I'm hoping to meet a number of people that listen to our radio broadcast at the fair, as we will be at the booth tonight between 7 and 9 on Tuesday night. And then again, Thursday, I hope to be there with Brother Charlie Henner. And so I hope to have met you, because this will air on Sunday morning. But anyway, let's get to our study concerning how important is the Church of Christ. Well, let's start out with this. How important is the eternal purpose of God? As we study Ephesians 3:9-11, well, we'll see that it reveals the church was not an afterthought, but it was God's plan from the very beginning. Let's go now to Ephesians 3:9-11. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Here's the church, singular, presented as an evidence for the wisdom of God. And of course, God has all wisdom. Now, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church of Christ is an eternal purpose as it was in the mind of God from the beginning. According to the eternal purpose. Let me emphasize that. So how important is the eternal purpose of God? It is vitally important. Of course it is. Now, since God's eternal plan was not understood by the Jews and kept secret from Satan, it was a mystery. Go with me now, still in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verses 3 through 5. 3 through 5. No, now, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Were not the Jews looking for Jesus to come and set up a physical kingdom as they had in the days of David and Solomon, the glory days? Well, even the disciples said, Lord, will thou now establish the kingdom? Yes, that's what they asked. Well, restore again the kingdom to Israel, verse 6 of Acts chapter 1. Acts 1, verse 6. So, we need to understand that Satan did not understand the prophecy going back to Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15, likely the first prophecy of Christ. The woman, the virgin birth of Christ. And of course, Satan has following, so he has seed. But Christ came forth from the virgin birth of Mary, was with child by the Holy Spirit, having not known a man. And thus Jesus would bruise the head of Satan when he was resurrected, as Satan bruised his heel, having him crucified. But you see, that was in God's plan. Ephesians 1, 10 and 11. Ephesians 1, 10 and 11. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God's plan of redemption was predetermined. The plan was predetermined. You see, not who's going to be saved. It depends on our responding to the plan of redemption, the gospel of Christ, and obeying the teachings of Christ. Yes, we must submit. Now, dispensation, of course, there were three in the Bible, not seven as premillennialists, some of them believe that. But there was the patriarchal age, there was the Mosaic age, you see that in the Old Testament, and then Jesus brought in the Christian age, the last age. That's it. And we're in that last age. So we need to respond to the gospel, of course. We're not under the patriarchal law or the law of Moses. That was nailed to the cross. Colossians 2:14. Now let's notice another question. How important is prophecy concerning the Church of Christ in the Old Testament? Well, we should say that's very important, should we not? Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3. And it shall come to pass in the last days, that's the Christian age we just talked about, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Well, that's where the church began, in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, in the first century, after Jesus had been crucified and buried and rose from the grave and seen by many before he ascended up into heaven. Yes, sir. Now let's go to Daniel 2:44, another prophecy of the Church of Christ. And in the days of these kings, that's the Roman Caesars, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, remember? The head of gold was Babylon. The chest with silver, yes, that was the Medo-Persians. And the thighs and belly, the Grecian Empire. Alexander the Great, the last great empire, and that statue was the legs, the feet, made of iron mixed with clay, the Roman Empire. It was strong, but it had immorality. And God took a stone out of the mountain. Remember, it was not made with man's hands. That was the church. The kingdom of God was established during those days. And it stands forever. And it, of course, breaks in pieces all these other kingdoms. It's not left to other people. No, it's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the Church of Christ. And we could look at Micah 4:1-4. It's similar to Isaiah's prophecy. But let's go now to Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said. And in the remnant whom the Lord shall call, there you are, the name of the Lord, authority, the authority of Jesus. He had all authority given to him by his heavenly Father, Matthew 28:18, did he not? Matthew 28:18 said he has it. Now, the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call, there's always been that remnant coming down in the seed line of Christ. There were so many times Israel became unfaithful, even when went into idolatry. The divided kingdom, the northern kingdom, was not worshiping correctly, going to Jerusalem as they should. Some did, but the majority were not. And those 10 tribes were taken away in Assyrian captivity. Judah, of course, later did not learn from her older sister, and also was taken into captivity because of their departure from faithfulness to God. But there was a remnant. We need to be today of the few that find the truth. Few there be that find it. Remember in Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:13-14, two ways. Remember that. We need to be of the narrow way. Straight gate goes to heaven. The broad way, the wide gate, go to the fires of hell. And many there be that go in thereat. Let's not forget that. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The fulfillment of Joel's prophecy there in Acts 2, the day the church began. And again, calling on the name of the Lord is submitting to His will, His authority. But let's go on. How important is the body of Christ? Well, let's look at Colossians 1:18 and verse 24. Colossians 1:18 and 24, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. The body of Christ is very important, is it not? Who would say it's not important? Well, look at Ephesians 4:4. There's one body. That's the one true church of the Bible. Not many bodies, not many churches. One true church. The body of Christ. We need to see that. Because it's scriptural. It's the will of God. How important is the blood of Christ? Think about it. How important is the blood of Christ? We cannot be saved without the blood of Christ. Let's look at Acts 20:28. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. How valuable is the blood of Christ? We cannot put a value upon it. Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We need to appreciate the blood of Christ. It's so very important, and it purchased the church of Christ. How important is the family of God? Another question to ask. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Do we not want to be called sons of God? Well, unless we obey the gospel, we're not sons of God. Look at Galatians 3 with me. Galatians 3:27-29. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Do we believe that? Well, the important thing is here to be in the family of God. But let's go on. How important is the kingdom of God? Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son? The kingdom of His dear Son is the church of Christ. That's how important it is. Mark 9:1. And He said unto them, Jesus did, Verily, I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Well, it did. It did come with power. Look at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There's the outline of the book of Acts. But you see, power was going to be upon the apostles. Acts 2. Now, Acts 2:1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who is they? Go back to the preceding verse. The lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles, making 12. That's who they are. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The power of God came upon them, as Jesus had said. You know, every kingdom must have four things: a king, subjects, law, and territory. Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. His subjects, those that obey the gospel. The territory, of course, is their hearts. And the law, of course, is the law of Christ. Those four things, remember. Now let's go on. How important is the bride of Christ? Well, we should say very important to all these questions. I hope we've been doing that. 1 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The church is to be pure and faithful. Revelation 21:9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is his bride. We need to be faithful to our Lord and Savior and stay in the church. Another question: how important is the sheepfold of the great shepherd? John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What love Jesus has for us. We need to stay in the sheepfold. Notice 1 Peter 5:2-3. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but in samples to the flock. The feed the flock of God. That's the sheepfold of the great shepherd we're talking about. Now, another question: how important is true worship toward God? We should all say very important. John 4:24, we start out the program. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is, according to the pattern of the New Testament, having a proper attitude. John 4:24 says that, doesn't it? Can one worship God acceptably outside the church? Let's look at Mark 7:6-8. Mark 7:6-8. He answered and said unto them, Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Let's not reject the commandment of God. Let's worship scripturally in accordance to the New Testament pattern, not teaching the commandments of men and worshiping in vain. No, sir. Study James 1:25-27. James 1:25-27. But we need to move on. Here is a great question to ask as we finish up the questions. How important is our eternal destiny? Well, everybody should say that's vitally important, where I'm going to spend my eternal destiny. That was 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. What's Jesus going to present to his heavenly Father, the kingdom of God, the church of Christ. Notice Matthew 15:13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Well, notice the seed in the parable of the soils. Luke 8, you have the parable of the soils. In verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. And it's planted in four types of hearts. You can see there and study that. So when the Word of God is planted in a good and honest heart, it's going to produce a Christian. Not some denominational designation. No, sir, it produces a Christian. Luke 8:15. You know, when you plant corn, do you not reap corn? When you plant the Word of God, you're going to reap a Christian. Luke 18:15. We want to be of that which is an honest and good heart that accepts the truth and obeys it. Now, as we come to our conclusion this morning, we've asked the question, how important is the Church of Christ? Well, notice, if the eternal purpose of God, the prophecy concerning the Church of Christ, the blood of Christ, the body of Christ, the family of God, the kingdom of God, the bride of Christ, the sheepfold of Christ, the worship of Christians, and the eternal destiny of us all is important, then how could anyone that is honest state that the Church of Christ is not important? We wouldn't be honest if we said otherwise. So the question now is, am I a member of the one true church of the Bible, the body of Christ? How can I be a Christian if I'm not a member of the church for which Jesus Christ died and purchased with His precious blood, which is His spiritual body? Now, what could prevent me from becoming a member, a Christian? Nothing should. What does the Bible say I must do to become a Christian, a child of God? First of all, I have to hear the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Now I'm to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Once I believe that Jesus is the Christ, I'm motivated to repent, to make a change of wills, and do the will of God. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. Now I'm ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Stating I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Now I'm ready to be immersed, to be buried into a watery grave. Baptism is what, where I contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away my sins. I come up out of the water to walk in newness of life. Acts 22:16, you see where Ananias told Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Now I need to remain faithful in the body of Christ. And we thank you so much for listening today.